The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, welcome to the Big Blue Big Board podcast. I am Dan Pizzuta, joined here by Chris Flum. Chris, how are you doing this morning? Coming about a little after midnight now. After the first round, how are you hanging in there, Chris?
Tired, headache, confused, sad.
All right, so let's jump in. The Giants made three first round picks on Thursday night. We are going to dive into all of them relatively quickly. We hope we'll come back and dig a little deeper into these guys, and we'll be writing about it on Big Blue View for the next couple days. But let's just get our immediate reactions to what happened on Thursday night. And of course, that all has to start with the sixth overall pick, Duke quarterback Daniel Jones. So if you have been listening to this podcast for any amount of time since this has been a podcast, you probably know our feelings on Daniel Jones as a player. I will say conservatively, we are not fans of his game. But I think one positive thing, if we want to start there, the question about the Giants drafting a quarterback, if they liked a quarterback, if they would pass up a quarterback at six and potentially wait until 17 for that guy. I think the correct argument was, if you like that guy, you believe he's your guy, take him at six. Do not let the chance of him not being there at 17, if he is the guy you like, don't make that risk. It's unnecessary. So on the plus side, they did that. They drafted the quarterback they liked. So that part of the process, I agree with. The second part of the process with the quarterback being Daniel Jones is, I'll say, not something that I think many Giant fans agree with. That is appears to be the case. So let's just dive into Daniel Jones as a player, I think, very quickly, because we have talked about him a lot. The thing that, you know, makes him, I guess, worthy of being this pick to the Giants is the David Cutcliffe connection with Eli and Peyton Manning, if that matters. He is tall. He looks like a quarterback. And then I think that's kind of where the pros stop. If you look at his numbers, you watch him on film at all, he's not a very quick processor, even though he does do well in the quick game. I don't think he processes very well. When you look at what he had to do at Duke, he was not very accurate. A lot of it was short throws. I think you look, only 42% of his yards came through the air at Duke last year. That's one of the lowest rates in this class. That even Dwayne Haskins, who was in a short run after the catch heavy offense, was at 45.3. That's still pretty low, but Daniel Jones was below that. You look at his accuracy. I've tweeted this out. I put this in a post at Big Blue View. His accuracy, his on target percentage, is not good. So he was about average from 1 to 10, which is where the majority of his throws come from. And that's probably where you're going to manufacture an offense around him. But once you get to the intermediate range in 11 to 20, it dips to one of the the worst accuracy percentages in the class, and this is all per Sports Info Solutions. When you go to the deep passes, 21 yards down the field or more, he's also one of the worst in this class there. So I don't know where this upside comes from at all.
Yeah, I don't really see it at all either. You know, just sticking with the numbers, Bill Connolly for SB Nation did a preview of the quarterbacks, and he basically said you can, based on the available data that we have, you can pretty much predict that a quarterback's college metrics are their ceiling for their pro career. Daniel Jones had the worst yards per completion, the second worst adjusted net yards per attempt, the third worst passer rating, he had the worst efficiency rating, and the third worst success rating of the quarterbacks that Connolly profiled. That is very worrying. Yeah, I'm not going to say that Daniel Jones can't be a success, because the Giants drafted him to be their future franchise quarterback. When you take a quarterback at sixth overall, that is what you are drafting him for. But they are betting that, A, he was extremely handicapped by the players that surrounded him at Duke. Basically, his teammates at Duke were completely and utterly incompetent. But also, they are betting that he is just an extreme outlier and the only quarterback in recent history who will exceed his college ceiling in the NFL when the game is faster. He's going to be asked to process so much more. I believe north of 90% of his throws in college were one read, either a single passing concept, like a smash concept where you just read the cornerback and it just goes throw him wrong. If he covers a deep route, you throw the short route. If he covers the short route, you throw the deep route. Or an RPO where if a defensive player comes down to defend the run play, you throw the pass. These are just basically quick predetermined reads that he was asked to do on 90% of his plays. And even in Pat Shurmur's offense, he's going to be asked to read the whole field. He's going to be asked to, before the snap, decipher coverage and figure out whether or not it's going to be man or zone coverage. And then a lot of the times the way the Giants offense works is they would run a man beater on one side and a zone beater on the other, and the quarterback would just throw to whichever concept countered the defense that was being run. Well, Jones isn't going to be told what to throw by a giant sign before the snap. So he has to do a lot more just mentally. And that's not even leaving aside the fact that he does not have a great arm. Arm strength isn't the greatest indicator of future success, but it's not unimportant either. You still have to be able to throw outside the numbers. You still have to be able to place the ball where the receivers can make a play on it and hopefully set them up for yards after the catch down the field. And I'm just saying more than 10 or 15 yards down the field.
Yeah, it's crazy because so much of that Duke offense was relying on these short passes. On the post I wrote for Big Review about what the Giants should look at their quarterbacks and some of the things that matter, I looked at the percentage of throws that were within 10 yards from the line of scrimmage. Daniel Jones threw 74.5% of his passes last year within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. That was one of the highest rates in this draft class. So then what I did was look at the top quarterbacks in expected points added in the NFL. I looked at the top 10. They averaged around 70% of their throws within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. But what I found from those 10 quarterbacks who were, you know, by expected points added, the best quarterbacks in the league last year, even though 70% of their throws happened in that area, almost all of their value came from throws past 10 yards, past the line of scrimmage. And that's where Jones really struggles. He's not a good intermediate thrower. He is a terrible deep thrower. He has better accuracy than his actual statistics were at Duke because, the supporting cast was bad. That is true. People are going to use that as something to say about Daniel Jones to kind of defend him, but two things can be true. His supporting cast could have been god-awful, and he also could have been bad. Both of those things were true. He didn't get any help from that supporting cast, but he also was not good.
I'd say, don't we kind of want the quarterback to elevate his supporting cast? If Daniel Jones is being compared to a Manning, isn't that what you expect from them?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was from drops. I don't think he was particularly good in leading receivers or throwing them open either. And that's part of it. And I wrote one of the other things I wrote, that the third section of what I thought the Giants should look for is someone who can transcend the scheme. And Daniel Jones is not that. He's going to be very scheme dependent. He is going to take what is given at best. He has some athleticism. I mean, you look at his game against North Carolina, where he ran for like 170 yards. He kind of put the team on his back there, but like that is not a sustainable way to continue to win. And he doesn't have athleticism that is going to allow that to happen in the NFL. You talk about him being an outlier with some of Bill Connelly's statistics and success rate. And I very much agree with the idea that your college performance is your NFL ceiling. And when you look at what the Connelly wrote, none of the quarterbacks he has looked at over the past couple years, however far back his data goes, no quarterback has topped their college production in the NFL. And Jones had terrible college production. You can try to write that off because of the supporting cast, but when it is in that big of a sample that quarterbacks do not just get better in the NFL, that is a concern. We talk about outliers. Daniel Jones being good at the NFL level would make him a bigger outlier than Kyler Murray is going to be. And that's quite a risk at number six. It's questionable decision-making, it's questionable scouting, and I guess we can get into that part real quick, because Dave Gettleman, we have a little bit of what he said. I think he's speaking while we're recording right now. His post-first-round press conference, he is speaking now while we record. Two bits we've gotten so far, he had Daniel Jones and linebacker Josh Allen, who was on the board. Also, we can say Ed Oliver was on the board when the Giants were up at six. You would have thought a couple weeks ago there was either one, no way Josh Allen and Ed Oliver would be on the board for the Giants. Also, you would think if either one of them were, the Giants would sprint up and make one of them their pick. So Gettleman revealed in his press conference he had the same grade on Daniel Jones and Josh Allen, which that's quite questionable. And then we get back to when Gettleman started really feeling the way he did about Daniel Jones. And let's see, Gettleman says he fell in love with Daniel Jones at the Senior Bowl, and this is a quote: after the three series I watched, I saw a professional quarterback, so that's when I was in full-blown love. That is terrible process. I don't care how good the quarterback is. I don't care if you were watching Patrick Mahomes for three series. That is terrible, terrible process, and that's where the Giants are at their quarterback right now.
Yeah, skip right past Mahomes. I don't care if you're watching Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning for three series. You need more than three series. Or if you are making a decision about the most important position in sports, you need to watch as much tape as you can get your hands on. Not a quarter of one game. I'm sorry, not a quarter of an all-star game in which the defense is being heavily, heavily constricted. That's one thing that doesn't get talked about with the Senior Bowl, is the defense is basically not allowed to blitz. They're basically locked into a 4-3 cover 2 defense. The offense knows exactly what they're getting. Pick three series from that game to fall in love? Really? Okay.
So is he talking about the Senior Bowl game, which he probably wasn't even at because everyone leaves before the game? Or was he talking about the practices, which might be even more suspect because remember, we talked to Mark Schofield right after the Senior Bowl, and Daniel Jones had a rough week of practices. He was a pretty bad in the outdoor early in the week, and then they had that indoor practices the day it rained, and Jones was terrible. He threw two picks, one on a flat route to Nasir Adderley. So I'm not totally sure what Gettleman was watching, because every report we had from Senior Bowl week of practices, when most of the people are paying attention, is that Jones had a pretty rough week. He ended up being Senior Bowl MVP in the actual game, and this is, again, the third year in a row now that the Giants have drafted the Senior Bowl MVP.
Yeah, and I'll just say, I tweeted this out before we started recording, if the Giants wanted a 6'5" Senior Bowl MVP, they could have just hung on to Davis Webb and drafted Deshaun Hand or Shaquille Griffin last year in the fourth round rather than taking Kyle Lauletta, and they could have taken Josh Allen or Ed Oliver this year. I'm just saying.
Yeah, so, I mean, Gettleman has said these picks don't happen in a vacuum, and that is true. Sometimes feels like Gettleman's picks and all of his moves do happen in a vacuum, but I think you have to now think of this. It's in the Dave Gettleman era, the two big first-round picks are now a running back, and I mean, again, as good as Saquon Barkley is, you can question the value of a running back, and now Daniel Jones. So that's what they're potentially setting up the next few years of the Giants, are those two picks. And man, when you think, like, we can go back and think if it could have been a quarterback last year and almost any other running back this year, is that a better option? I think that's possible. That's something I think we have to think and talk about a little more.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
So the draft got off to quite a start there. I think it was pretty chalky until that point. And then we had the Daniel Jones pick at number 6. Of course, the Giants had their second first round pick at number 17 because of the Odell Beckham trade. And if Daniel Jones was a very Dave Gettleman pick, the 17th pick was the most Dave Gettleman pick.
I would say, how much more Dave Gettleman pick could this have been? And the answer is none more Dave Gettleman, really.
Yeah, so a 340-pound nose tackle, that would be Dexter Lawrence from Clemson. I think I have talked about Lawrence. I am not super high on him because he is the prototypical big nose tackle who defends the run fairly well, does not give as much pass rush as you would like from the interior for the modern NFL game, but this is Dave Gettleman does not exactly believe in the modern NFL game. He is very much a run the ball, stop the run type of guy. So Lawrence is not a very surprising pick in the middle of the first round.
No, in a vacuum for what he does, I like Dexter Lawrence as a player. Yeah, he is a very athletic big man. He moves better than you would expect a 340-pound tackle to do. However, the Giants already have Dalvin Tomlinson, who was about as good a nose tackle as you could ask for, other than Damon Harrison, who they traded away. Yeah, nobody is in Snacks' class. It is extremely unlikely that Dexter Lawrence will be in Snacks' class. So I just don't get adding another nose tackle, because BJ Hill has experience at nose tackle. He isn't as big, but he is a very powerful player. and he actually does give you some one gap penetration ability.
Yeah, and I think the Damon Harrison thing is, it kind of makes sense for Dexter Lawrence to be worth this pick. I think he has to be Damon Harrison because he does not give you enough from the passing game. He had a decent pressure rate, actually, per Sports Info Solutions, but when you look at him, it's a lot of just being a gigantic human that causes that. And I don't think that's going to play as well in the NFL. And then you look at some of his production numbers for a gigantic run stuffer. He did not stuff the run very often. He only had 13 run stuffs last year, and that is, you know, below Ed Oliver, who had 17.5. That's below Christian Wilkins on the same Clemson defensive line, who had 16.5. Jerry Tillery had 12.5, who went a little later but has more pass rush upside. A guy like Quinnen Williams had 25 run stuffs. So obviously no one was expecting Dexter Lawrence to be Quinnen Williams, but for a gigantic run stuffer, you would expect him to possibly stuff the run a little more, but he didn't. And so I think that has to develop. I think the pass rush has to develop for him to be worth this pick. And I think it's just another one where Gettleman saw this gigantic human being, and that is what he likes in football players. I'm just not sure the positional value there. And of course, he doesn't care about positional value either. But having a run-stuffing defensive tackle there, I don't see how that helps.
No, the Giants really need a pass rush almost more than anything on their defense. Now, they also needed help in their secondary, which we'll get to with their next pick. But they have guys who are stout up front, but they really don't have anybody who is a proven pass rusher. Dexter Lawrence is, I'll say, unlikely to provide that. He is very athletic. He is a gigantic human being, but he also only had, I believe, 4.5 sacks and about 10 tackles for a loss over the last 2 years put together. Right now, the Giants pass rush was responsible, without Olivier Vernon, was responsible for 3/4 of a sack a game when they weren't playing by far the worst offensive line in the league last year. And Dave Gettleman basically bypassed the best front seven pass rushing edge class we have seen in a long time.
Yeah, I think that was bigger at the sixth pick. But again, I think we have to take in the process. If they did like the QB, I think you take the QB. We just don't agree with the QB they took. Because by the time the Giants were on the clock at 17, Josh Allen went to Jacksonville at 7 right after Giants picked, and that pass rush is going to be ridiculous. Rashawn Gary went 12th to Green Bay. Christian Wilkins went 13th to Miami. Brian Burns, who I would have liked, went the pick ahead of the Giants at 16 to Carolina. So when you kind of look at the options they had at the pass rush, I don't think they were totally there to match up at 17 either. But going with the big run stuffer, I'm not sure that value meshes there either.
Yeah, the Montez Sweat was still on the board, and we did get the report earlier today that he was possibly, perhaps even likely, misdiagnosed at the NFL scouting combine. Now, the Giants are very averse to potential red flags, so maybe they just didn't have time to process that. They already had him off their board and just didn't have time to process the fact that maybe their medical report was wrong. They could have also looked at Jerry Tillery, who is still on the board. They could have looked at Jeffrey Simmons, who, granted, is coming back torn ACL, but even half a season with him is better than nothing.
Yeah, I mean, Simmons has the injury, he has the off-field domestic violence incident, so a talented player, I'm okay with staying away from him. But yeah, at 17, they put themselves in where they were was not exactly great for what they needed, even though they needed quite a bit. I mean, even like Andre Dillard could have been, a better pick there, even though he's only played left tackle. If you put him at maybe right tackle, you have someone to then fill in at left tackle once Nate Solder is done. He then goes to the Eagles now, and the Eagles, they already have a better backup left tackle than the Giants have a starting tackle. So that's great for the NFC East. So the 17th pick was interesting given what had already gone before them, probably what they were looking at. And I don't love Lawrence's value there. I'm sure trading back was never an option. It was more likely they were going to trade up, which they did again later in the draft. So the Giants ended up with three first round picks because they traded back up into the back end of the first round with the 30th overall pick. They got that from Seattle. So in that trade, they gave up the 37th pick, so that's their pick in the second round, the 132nd pick, which was a pick in the fourth round, which was their second pick in the fourth round, and the 142nd pick, which was their second pick in the fifth round. Not huge amount to give up. Per the Chase Stewart approximate value chart, it's about 140% of the 30th pick. So, I mean, they did pay a premium in the, you know, the amount of picks, not huge to give up. They still have a third, a fourth, two fifths, six and two sevenths, which I'm sure they'll probably use again to trade up. So when the Giants went back into the first round, 30th overall, they took DeAndre Baker, a cornerback from Georgia. I am split on this between liking DeAndre Baker as a player and not liking the process of trading those picks to move up for him, especially when he was going to be the first cornerback taken. I do like DeAndre Baker. I do not like DeAndre Baker more than Greedy Williams or Byron Murphy. Apparently, the Giants very clearly do. DeAndre Baker was the only cornerback taken in the first round. So now they'll be without a second pick. I mean, we talked about how they needed a cornerback. I've made the case for a while. I think they should have taken a cornerback in the first round and hit edge often later in the draft because I think they'll be better there. And if you can have the coverage to hold up, that makes the edge rushing easier, then the pass rushing makes it easier to cover. I think we saw that a lot last year. I don't necessarily agree with trading up to get that, especially when either Baker still could have been there at 37, Greedy Williams or Byron Murphy could still be there at 37. So I think that's an unnecessary use of assets to trade up. So now I can see the Giants are still probably going to use those picks. I can guarantee they're not waiting until 96 to pick on day two. There's no way. They're trading up somewhere. And then that's when you start cutting into those assets. I would have been fine with, you know, two first round picks, that second round pick, and then using those fourth and fifths to move into the third and taking some shots there, or taking some shots in the second. I think it's a little unnecessary to get into the end of the first round to get another first round pick. But if we go to Baker, I do like him as a prospect. He's a little undersized compared to some of the other guys. I think he's about 5'11", but he was fairly good at Georgia. Two interceptions, nine pass breakups per Sports Info Solutions, 43 targets, a 44.2% completion rate allowed last year, which was one of the better marks among this cornerback class, and only 4.09 yards per target allowed, which was the fourth best among this cornerback class. So Baker is a good cornerback. It is good that they got him. I just don't necessarily agree with the process they used to get him.
Yeah, Baker is a good cornerback. You know, he's versatile. He has quick feet. He's got loose hips. He can play in man or zone coverage. He is not afraid to hit and is not afraid to hit hard enough to separate the receiver from the ball. And I think the Giants traded up hoping they were getting 2017 DeAndre Baker when he was a legitimate shutdown corner. Like, nobody passed on him. In 2017, DeAndre Baker was targeted 19 times. He gave up 5 completions while breaking up 6 passes, which is pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, one to only be targeted 19 times is good, shows you're probably in good coverage. To allow only 26% of those passes to be completed is pretty good. So yeah, I like DeAndre Baker as a player. He did not test particularly well at the combine only in the 9th percentile per Spark. The 4.5140, a little concerning, but it doesn't, you know, write this guy off. He still showed he can play. So I think of the three first round picks, DeAndre Baker as the player is the player I would be most excited about for the Giants. Again, what dampens him a little bit is that they had to trade up for him. They traded up some resources, which probably means they're going to use more resources to trade up again, which is just a whole Dave Gettleman circle here that I'm sure we'll see more of on day two. And the fact that Baker was taken over Greedy Williams and Byron Murphy, just two cornerbacks I happen to like more than DeAndre Baker, although I do like DeAndre Baker. So that is good. If we're looking at the Giants draft in reverse order?
Yeah, still not happy with... It's going to take a lot for me to be happy with Daniel Jones as a first-round pick. We had him rated as a third-round pick on our big board. I was lower than that, but I suppose he does deserve a chance to prove us wrong. At the very least, he's going to get a chance to prove us wrong. I'm just not terribly optimistic that he's going to be able to follow through on that.
I guess he is going to get a chance. When that chance is going to be, we're not sure, as we see more Gettleman quotes coming in, that the pick of Daniel Jones does not mean Eli is done after 2019. He could possibly be on the Green Bay plan, which sees him sit for three more years. So, we're going to have some interesting things to break down as we really get further into analyzing this draft class. So we are going to end this here. Just some quick thoughts on the Giants' three first round picks. The Giants now aren't scheduled to pick on day two until pick 96 in the third round, which is all the way at the end. I highly doubt they're going to wait until that pick to make their first pick on day two. So I would expect another trade up, probably with those extra fourths and fifths if they can. So we're going to be writing up some of these picks on Big Blue View. We're going to have a lot of coverage there. We'll be back with some podcasts. We're figuring out how we want to break down these podcasts for the remainder of the draft, but we will be back. So you can find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and review if you have not. It helps us out greatly. Read our work on BigBlueView.com. Follow Big Blue View on Twitter at Big Blue View. Follow me on Twitter at Dan Pizzuta. You can follow Chris on Twitter at RaptorMKII. Thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you again soon.